Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Detroit Lions Breakdown Podcast. I'm Joe Cagno. With me, as always, is Eric Schlitt from PrideOfDetroit.com. Eric, you know, right now we're headed into the NCAA tournament for basketball, right? Yep. So that should be kind of taking over the sports landscape. You know, I've been watching some of these games, and you forget about the majesty of March Madness with all the game-winning shots and all that. But this is not a college basketball podcast. The only thing I wanted to mention is it still doesn't matter because the NFL is still king. You know, all these trades, you know, everything. Like, it's still – the NFL still dominates, you know, the when it comes to all of our sports. But – and that's what we're here for. We're going to talk about free agency. We're going to talk about a little bit of the combine results. We're going to start right off the bat, though. The big news that everybody knows already is that Trey Flowers hasn't been released yet, but he will be released at the beginning of the new year. And that's got big cap implications, and that's going to help us lead into our whole free agency discussion. So I've known, you know, you have the details, but I've known that once we cut Trey Flowers, we got a bunch of money we're going to add to our salary. Well, not add to our salary cap. Well, more money under the cap.
Yeah. Free it up. Right. It's a, Trey was the second highest paid player on the roster, and he comes with a pretty significant cap hit, just over $12.8 million. But at the same time, he also frees up $10.4 million. So, honestly, that's the way you have to look at it, right? You, the cap hit is what it is. That was a leftover penalty from the Bob Quinn era. And the move forward, I guess, that the Lions are focused on is that they free up 10.4, and they can use that 10.4 to get a player to potentially replace him, right? Or you know, they can go a variety of different ways. But they end up with gaining about $10.4 million by once they release him, which they're expected to do at the start of free agency. Now, a lot of people ask, what if they make him a June 1st cut? Well, that's a possibility, and they could free up more money, up to $16 million, by making him a June 1st cut. But that extra $6 million doesn't just disappear. It actually goes onto the 2023 cap. So you'd still be paying the price for releasing him in 2023, which I'm not sure the Lions want to do.
Let's get rid of all these Quinn Trisha mistakes now.
And then the last thing would be that I think people kind of overlook a lot is that if you designate a player a June 1st cut, the money doesn't become available until June 1st. So like that extra $10 million that they're going to get now, they can use now. If they wait till June 1st, that $16 million is money they cannot use until later in the summer. Now,
when there's not as many good free agents available now, right. Why? Because of the curse, there will be several good free agent safeties available like on June 4th, you know.
But, well, there is one little sneaky little caveat that they could do is they could basically wait on signing their free agent class or their rookie class, because their rookie class is expected to cost around $16 million. So if they are looking at Trey Flowers and they're saying, hey, we want to, if we make him a June 1st cut, then we will use that money for our rookies, but we just can't get our rookies under contract until June 1st. Well, it doesn't seem like that big of a deal, but they start rookie minicamp in May, and typically they like to get the rookies under contract, because if you wait till June, that's the second week of OTAs, and you've already had these guys in camp for like 3-4 weeks, and a lot of players don't want to show up in camp without a signed contract, and vice versa from the team too. So it's not as smooth making him a June 1st cut. And like I said, I'm not a fan of it because the money comes due at some point, right? So I think they're going to take the 10.4 and just walk away and call it what it is. Now, the nice thing is that the Lions also got a nice little bump in salary cap this week, because they, when the league officially made the salary cap $208 million, they also applied the adjustments. Now, adjustments are basically parts of contracts that weren't fulfilled, like a bonus, that was expected to be earned. So there's two types of bonuses, likely to be earned and unlikely to be earned. The likely to be earned bonuses count against the current cap. The unlikely to be earned bonuses, if earned, count against the cap the following season. So the Lions had a whole bunch of these guys that were supposed to get likely to be earned bonuses and that they didn't earn them. So the Lions had already paid that money out on last year's cap. Well, because they weren't earned, the Lions get a credit, and they get a credit in the tune of $8.4 million. So that $8.4 million gets added onto the Lions cap next year. And all of a sudden you get the rollover money, you get the cap adjustment, and all of a sudden the Lions are sitting here with about $36 million heading into, with the Trey Flowers move, heading into the offseason. Now, that's sixth most in the league right now, which is a lot. Again, you have to factor in the fact that the draft class is going to cost about $16 million. We don't have all of the contracts that the Lions have offered over the past week in-house. But again, they're not going to cost more than like $3-4 million total. And so you're probably looking at like 20 something million dollars that they're going to have. Again, these are things that all teams are going through. So like when a team has 36 million, it's realistically like 20. So if you're looking at another roster, like another team's roster, and it's, they say like, oh, they got 20 million. Well, that's probably closer to 12, right? So bottom line, Lions are in good shape going into the offseason. They have top 10, maybe even like top six or seven money when it's all said and done overall. And that will allow them to be aggressive if they want to be at certain positions.
And it's too bad about Flowers. You know, he was a good player.
He's a good person.
I will be humble and say that I was right, that this wasn't going to work out. But I will say that I was wrong in the way that it didn't work out, because I didn't expect him to be, you know, injured the whole time.
He's a good person, and he's getting a lot of slack for a contract that was agreed upon between Bob Quinn and his agent. Not necessarily.
Yeah, I don't know why people get so upset about all this stuff. And I mean, it's fine if you want to, but like dude, he's going to take the most money he possibly can. He was offered it. Yeah. Like, why are you going to get upset with the guy because of that?
It's the same logic of getting mad at Jeff Okuda because he was picked number three. That's not Jeff's fault.
Yeah, it was his choice.
Right?
You know?
Yeah.
And you can hate that, you know, blame the Lions and blame, you know, that's fine. All right. Anyway, right. Let's do our little position by position breakdown. Obviously, we're going to start with the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
They haven't made any roster moves. We have a couple of free agents. Tim Boyle's unrestricted. David Blau's restricted.
Right. So they just have Goff and Montez. So they're going to have to add a player in free agency or maybe even two in free agency. We'll kind of see how they go. It's possible they bring back either of those two guys. I don't know if I have a favorite free agent, but there's a couple of names that pop out to me that I kind of like. Tyrod Taylor is a guy that we've talked about in the past where we've both been kind of a fan of his. According to PFF,
fine backup if Goff ever got hurt.
Yeah. And according to PFF, he'd cost about $5 million, which is double what Tim Boyle made last year.
But again, he's more competent than Tim Boyle.
Exactly.
That's something to consider. You're going to have to pay more for somebody that's competent.
Right. Lower guys on the rung, like Ryan Fitzpatrick, would be interesting, especially look, Fitzpatrick's 39.
I would think Fitzpatrick would want to play with the team that drafts Malik Willis or Kenny Pickett, or like he'd want to go to one of those teams that are going to draft their court, because then he'll get a chance to play in all likelihood right away for that 1 year.
It depends what his future, like if he wants to be a coach, it would make sense to come to Detroit because you've got a lot of players that turned into coaches, including the quarterbacks coach and Mark Brunell. Right. So it could be a good learning experience for him if he's looking to transition. So, that would be the only reason I think Fitzpatrick would think about Detroit would be, but I, you know, if he thinks, okay, what's my future going to hold?
He's getting kind of old.
He's a Harvard.
To be an NFL coach. 39.
Yeah.
Yeah, go into Harvard. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's a Harvard guy. He's smart. He's a smart guy. So I don't know if I like, I don't know if Jacoby Brissett's going to be too expensive. I think Mariota will probably be too expensive. Tyrod, if I'm going to go after someone in free agency, Tyrod makes sense to me. Cost, reliability, and I think he's an upgrade over Tim Boyle and David Blau. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to move on. I was going to say, if people are going to look at this list and be like, oh, wouldn't you rather have Teddy Bridgewater, Jameis Winston, or Mariota as your backups? But it's like, well, no, like, sure, but they're going to cost a lot more money. And those guys, I think, you know, with Brady and Roethlisberger retiring and with the upheaval that, you know, we're having at the quarterback position, like, those guys want to look for teams where they have a chance to start for a big chunk of the year. And they're not going to, you know, the Lions are with Goff at this point. He's the starting quarterback this year, and that's going to be that.
The scary thing is, which shows you the how this market is impacted this year, is Trubisky is the one that's getting the most love.
Yeah, that people, yeah, people think love Mitch.
Now,
we'll see.
If we look at the draft or and we look at, like, what happened at the Combine, I thought things kind of played out as it was expected. Malik Willis seems like the top guy still. For the Lions, I definitely think he's the top guy. After that, they've had some connection to Desmond Ridder. They did a formal interview with him at the Combine. Remember, they only get 30 formal interviews. So the fact that they used one on Ridder, it speaks some volume. Remember, Ridder was at the Senior Bowl, but not on their roster. So it could be someone that they liked in that Friday meeting that they got to have with him. They liked his performance. And they just want to get to know him a little bit better, just to do their due diligence. But from what I know, I don't think they brought Kenny Pickett in. But, you know, we've talked about that in the past. Age and, like, ability to contribute.
Tiny hands.
And just overall ceiling. I'm not sure how well they mash. But Willis makes a lot of sense. Ridder makes a lot of sense. They had Howell at the Senior Bowl with them. Again, I'm not a big Howell fan, but they seem to be doing their homework on the top guys, which they absolutely should be, if anything, just to understand what their value at a quarterback is. A lot of people think the Lions are going to take a quarterback at 32. I am not in that boat. My stance has always been, you get one shot. If you're Brad Holmes, you get one shot at taking a quarterback, and you better not miss, because you can't draft Malik Willis at 32 and then try and get another quarterback in the first round next year, especially if you have to trade up for one of the guys, right? One of the bigger name guys. So I don't know. You got to be confident that one of these guys is going to be the guy that you can, move forward with.
Okay. Well, moving on to the running back position. Godwin Igbuebukwe, he's an exclusive rights free agent. They've tendered him, right, with the exclusive rights deal. So,
yeah,
they get, what is it, a right of first refusal, or what do they get?
He can't even negotiate
with anybody.
An exclusive,
they've rights, offered him the 10-year, he could sign it or not play in the NFL next
exactly year. Right. And so, Godwin will be a Lion next year, or he won't play. Now, the Lions can always release him from that designation if they want, and let him go somewhere else. But he's going to get, like, minimum money, and he doesn't. It's in his best interest to come back and fight for a spot. So, yeah, I think Godwin will get a chance to, be a kick returner. I think he'll get a chance to contribute in the rotation. And it gives them a nice five back system right now, where they don't have to push for anyone in free agency. They don't have to push for anyone at the combine. But if the right situation comes up and they find a guy, then great. Like, I'm looking at the free agency name, and there's some interesting names out there, and there's some not bad names at not bad prices, or what's expected to be their prices. But I don't know if they need it, right? Like, for example, in my opinion, I think they need to find some sort of power back, right? I think a power back would be a nice compliment. So James Conner is probably one of the best power backs in free agency, but he's going to cost over $6 million. I think that's too much, right?
They need to spend money elsewhere.
Yeah, right. Rashad Penny, he's got some elements that I think would fit in with the Lions, and he's only expected to make $3 million. But you know what? You kind of made your bed with Jamal Williams last year. He's going to cost you almost $3 million. So can you have Swift plus $2-3 million backs backing him up, plus all these other like Craig Reynolds and Jefferson, and I just who are at least somewhat capable
playing an NFL. They're not loaded at this position, but at the same time, they're not, you know, lacking at this position.
Right. So my assumption is that they're probably going to avoid the position in free agency. I do think the draft is a possibility for them to go up and get somebody. I don't think it's going to be early. I think Kenneth Walker and Breece Hall really separated themselves from everybody else. Kind of what we expected, but they kind of confirmed that with some of their, you know, both of them ran sub fours, right? Like that was pretty impressive. For me, Walker still remains my top back. I just don't see a spot where the Lions would necessarily think, okay, it's good capital for us to add him. I think some other team's going to jump up and get him. And again, he would fit perfectly, but I think they're going to be looking more like day three options where they could add depth and somebody that could compete. So some of the guys that I liked that I thought that might go on day three that have that kind of power element to them was like Zamir White from Georgia. He's got some injury history, but he's very talented, bigger back. He also ran really well and did average in the jumps, which is, you know, which is nice. Pierre Strong's not as much a power back. He's more of an explosive guy. I thought he had a really nice combine. He had a really nice Senior Bowl. He's been a guy on my radar for a while. Abram Smith is a guy that we talked about having a good Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
Got some power to him. You know, like that, it's that type of guy that I think is going to be more along the lines of what Detroit is looking for. The only other name I wanted to mention was Devontae Price from Florida International. He was with the Lions at the Senior Bowl. He's an excellent pass blocker. He ran sub 4.4. And so like, there's a lot of elements athletically that fit what they're looking for stylistically. They've worked with them. So I think Price is a guy in the later rounds that that might be interesting to them as well. So again, if they could add a guy in the draft, the history says Holmes will probably try and add a running back in this draft with 9 picks potentially, that I could see it happening as well. So I don't expect a lot of movement in this position group.
All right. Wide receivers. One of the, some of the news this week is Josh Reynolds being added.
Yeah.
2 years, potentially $12 million. There's a lot of heartburn over that, including for me, because there's a period of time a few weeks ago where I was playing Madden and I had to consult with Eric, but it's like, you know, the Josh Reynolds, he's come to me, he's asked for 3 years, $12 million, like $4 million a year. That seems to be a lot, isn't it? And Eric's like, oh yeah, I wouldn't give him that contract. I'm like, all right, well, as the season rolled on, now he's asking 3 years, $14 million. And look at what, and in real life, it's even bigger than that. 2 years, potentially right. 12.
Here's the thing though. I expect that to be backloaded. I expect that to be heavily incentive based. And if I had to guess, it's probably going to be something closer to like $3 to $3.5 million this year, and then maybe $5 million next year, that type of increase. But they don't have much guaranteed money into next year, which would put them as a potential cap cut, right? So I'm expecting something like that, it to be like 3.5, but most of that is guaranteed because of bonuses like prorated bonus, like a signing bonus. But I expect them to have incentives like, hey, we're going to bring in competition. And if you can hold off the competition and you can produce and you can hit 1,000 yards, then you'll get a bonus. If we get to the playoffs, then you're going to get a bonus, like those types of incentives. Hopefully we get that contract soon to really kind of understand it. But regardless, he's going to come in and he's going to likely be the favorite to have a hold down starting role. So now you have Amon-Ra St. Brown and Josh Reynolds, both in starting roles. And you really only have one clear open spot, and that's the X. But you want to get competition for Reynolds as well, because he's only on a 2-year deal. So you're probably going to bring in a rookie that is either going to be an X or a Y. So the X meaning you're kind of like wide receiver one type, or your Y, which is more like your deep threat, like Josh Reynolds is. So outside receivers, I think, are going to be the guys that they target. Now, the rumors at the combine were that the Lions were going to be players in the wide receiver market. Since then, Davante Adams, Chris Godwin, and Mike Williams either got franchised or re-signed. So top three names off the board. But name number four is the guy that I was interested in the most anyways, and that's Allen Robinson.
Local
kid, played for the Bears for a long time, right? He's still 28. He is a plug and play wide receiver X. He's one of the better wide receivers in the game. He would be a massive upgrade. Downside is you're going to spend
up. You're going to spend a lot on him.
Yeah.
It's going to chew up a lot of the cap.
It is. And depending on how you structure it, I think you could get that number down this year and then backload it. But for a guy like him, you're giving him probably like a 4 or 5 year deal. Probably, you know what I mean? And then with that deal, you're talking that you're making him like a fixture of the organization, and you can do some things with the contract to make it a little more palatable this year while you're, still in the rebuilding process. But he's a guy that I think you could build an offense around him. Right. And you already have a couple pieces in place. So I like him quite a bit. If you don't want to pay like $16 million, which is probably what he'd cost, and you want to play closer to 12, well, DJ Chark, right? That's another guy who can be the X or a Y, and he's probably going to be closer to 12. Christian Kirk is a guy I had mentioned previously, but he kind of plays that Y spot similar to Josh Reynolds. And so I'm not sure if they would bring in another Y in free agency to compete with Reynolds. Like, they kind of filled that role with Reynolds. So my guess is they're going to either be looking at X or slot guys in free agency. And then the same thing in the draft. They're going to look for everything in the draft because they're going to want competition pretty much everywhere. Right. So, but in free agency, Robinson, Chark, I don't think Dallas is going to let Gallup go, but if they sign Gallup, they're probably going to have to release
Amari Cooper.
And again, Amari Cooper would fit nice, but how much is he going to cost? I don't,
expensive
time. I don't think he's Allen Robinson level, right? If you're going to spend $16 million on Cooper, you might as well spend it on Robinson, right? In my opinion. Now, I know there's a lot of Cooper fans, and he's, got a lot of production.
Yeah, I always liked him.
Yeah.
I'm a Cooper fan.
Yeah. But I think he's probably going to get in that range. He's making $20 million right now in Dallas, and that's too much for them. Mm-hmm. And, they've been trying to trade him, and they haven't been able to find anyone to trade him. Well, because $20 million is too much, right?
Too much for anyone, yep.
Yeah, right. And so 16, 15, if you can get him, into that range or lower, even better. But I think he's a little bit, it's easier to entertain him more. But I still am going to have Allen Robinson as kind of as a guy that I'd be super interested in bringing in. If you want some like depth contributors, Brian Pringle and Isaiah McKenzie are guys that I identified in my free agents watch during the playoffs. I think those guys are guys that can be productive, won't break the bank, and you could bring them in as kind of like a wide receiver 4 or 5s. Even though Pringle has been a 3 for a while, right? But we'll see what his market is, I guess, right?
All right.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to move on to tight ends. Keep it going.
We just have to talk about
guys from the combine, guys.
Yeah, just real fast. They're loaded, right? The whole combine is loaded. Again, I think this is a position that they're going to draft relatively early. Basically, by that I mean in the top 100.
I was going to say I see him in the top 100. People, and I think we want to see somebody at 32 or 34. But
a lot of people do.
I don't think that's what they're going to do. I have a feeling they're not going to draft a wide receiver that high. Keep going with your, you're going to get into the list. It is a loaded draft for wide receiver.
Yeah. I don't want to go over the names too much, but a couple of the guys that stood out outside of like the big six, Christian Watson from North Dakota State, who can be an X, George Pickens from Georgia, who can be an X. Those guys are probably guys you can draft at like 34. I don't think they'll make it to 66. If you wait till 66, then you're looking at guys like maybe Jalen Tolbert, who could be your X, maybe Alec Pierce. But again, these are kind of XY guys. And it gets a little harder to get that X in the draft if you're not taking him in the first or second round. If you grab a guy like Allen Robinson, well, then, yeah, now you've got your everything opens up a lot. Now you can take a guy in the third round that's going to push Josh Reynolds, and it's a little bit more palatable, right? And again, guys like Pierce and Tolbert and even Watson and Pickens, those are guys that can challenge Josh Reynolds. So I don't think signing Allen Robinson takes those guys off the table, but I do think there's a timing to it. If you don't get the X in free agency, they're going to go early because that's where the X's are. If you get a big one in free agency, well yeah, I'm totally on board with the fact that I think they might wait till the third round and grab somebody that we're maybe overlooking because their GPS score says something better than their 40 time, right?
Timed, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Moving to tight end, which is an underrated position of need for the Lions, sure. Especially, for how long over the last 10 years or so, it's like, tight ends are going away. You know, it's going to be mostly receivers. Now it's tons of 12 personnel. Now, and then with Kittle and Kelsey, you have even Hockenson and Pitts, you have all these guys that are playmakers at the tight end position. And yes, I did mention we do have TJ Hockenson, but Brock Wright, who was our number two tight end for most of the season, he's an exclusive rights free agent, so they'll be able to retain him. But this is a position they're going to need to add somebody and hopefully upgrade.
The crazy thing is, if you look at their depth chart right now, they have 8 tight ends.
Yeah, because Dan Campbell's the head coach.
plus tight ends. Plus Jason Kabinda, right? So it's technically like 9 guys. And last year it was Hockenson, Wright, and Kabinda, and all 3 of those guys should be back. So they're going to be looking to add a guy to that mix for competition to be like a tight end 2 or a tight end 3. I think if you pushed Brock Wright into a tight end 3 role, it's probably a little bit better suited for him. Will Hunter Bryant do that, or Shane Zylstra? Like it's hard to say. That's why I do think they're going to add at least one more tight end in free agency. The tight end market is good, but it's expensive, right?
Yeah. There's a lot of high end tight ends. I don't see them signing a high end.
Yeah. Would a guy like Robert Tonyan come back to the Lions? You know, that's where he started his career.
Yeah, yep.
I mean, starting his career in Detroit and then going to Green Bay and then being in
greener pastures.
OJ Howard is a former first round pick that people might be paying attention to. Mo Alley Cox from Indy, right? He had a stint of that where he was a really good tight end for a while. I think that's still kind of in there. But look, these guys are paying like $4-5 million. Like it's probably too much. I think the chances are they're going to draft a guy. Cause again, if you look at the draft, there's a lot of really good tight ends that could be where that would make really good tight end 2s, right? Trey McBride's probably going to be too expensive, unless they want to take him on day 2. Dolchik, which we were talking about
your favorite
sleeper. Daniel Jeremiah said he was the best tight end in the draft. Mm-hmm. So like, I don't know if he's a sleeper.
He's not a sleeper anymore then.
Yeah. Right. And then you've got like a whole bunch of these tight end Fs, which are the guys who are like slot receivers. Right. And so what do they need? What do they want? Do they want a balanced tight end who can block like a McBride or Jeremy Ruckert from Ohio State, Charlie Kohler from Iowa State? Those guys are balanced, and I think that would fit what the Lions are looking for. But there's a lot of really talented tight end Fs out there that you could add to the mix, and they could be contributors in the passing game. Jelani Woods from Virginia, who was at Oklahoma State before that. At Oklahoma State, he was a blocker, a dominating blocker, and then he goes to Virginia, and they turn him into a pass catcher because he's 6'7", 250, right? And he's pretty athletic, so you know, there's going to be options, I guess, is one way to point. There's probably 10 tight ends in the draft that could come in and be tight end too, and you'd be happy with it. So, again, gut feeling is they've got so many guys. I don't think this is a free agency move. I think this is probably a draft move.
All right, moving to offensive tackle. Matt Nelson's an exclusive rights free agent. Tyrell Crosby, unrestricted free agent. Will Holden, restricted free agent. Nelson, you know, was very valuable as the sixth offensive lineman package. He was also valuable as a backup. Tyrell Crosby, a very interesting situation with him. He's probably gone, right?
Yeah, it sure seems like it. Misdiagnosed per reports from camp. He ends up having back surgery. He was originally diagnosed as having a hamstring issue. Turns out it was a back surgery that was significant enough that it required surgery. And so he's supposed to be better and healthy, but it sure seems like his time in Detroit was done. The coaching staff never really felt like they got much out of him, from what I can gather. Remember, they didn't have a whole lot of nice things to say about him in training camp. Of course, he was injured, right? But at the same time, you got to remember, there's some controversy around him. They draft Sewell, and then he doesn't show up for minicamp with the new, or for OTAs. And with the new coaching staff, he got behind. And
doghouse.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, and then once he got behind, then he gets injured, and that put him further behind. Then he gets injured again, and then that one's misdiagnosed, and it's just a whole mess. I mean, a terrific guy, high character, but he's probably moving on.
Good luck to him in New England with Trey Flowers.
So, yeah, again, this is because you're bringing back your four, with Dan Skipper being four. I don't see them really going after this position in free agency. The guy that I identified was Joseph Noteboom, who could come in at a reasonable price. He was part of the Rams organization last year. He's a guard tackle, or he's a tackle guard flexible player. He can play all four of those spots. Shouldn't be terribly expensive, but how much money do they want to invest when they've already invested so much at the position, and you have, you know, comfortably three tackles that can start. So Noteboom's really the only guy that stands out to me from a talent price perspective. You have anybody that's on your radar here?
There's a handful of ex-Lions on this list.
Oh, yeah. You
got Riley Reiff. You got Cornelius Lucas.
Yeah.
The aforementioned Tyrell Crosby. Yeah, there's a lot. I would rather see him get somebody in the draft. You know, I don't know if they're good, because a lot of these lower price guys are older guys.
Yeah.
You know, and those guys will be looking to go somewhere where they'll play right away. And you have the Noteboom guy highlight, and that one makes the most sense to me, because, you know, Hermain Yaphety. I don't know.
No. I look, Noteboom's 26. He's guard tackle flexible. I think that's what they're looking for. And so I think they test the waters with him. I'd be a bit surprised if they ended up landing him, just based on the amount that they've invested with Taylor Decker and Penei Sewell and then Matt Nelson. And it just seems like a lot to invest in an OT4, even though he's position flexible, could easily go after a guy in the draft. There's some talented guard tackle flexible guys that I think you can find on day three. Spencer Burford from UTSA. He was the Lions starting left tackle at the Senior Bowl. Look, the fact that they made him the left tackle, I think speaks volumes about what they think of him, right? The fact that they started him, I think it also speaks volumes. Then he tests well. You know, he tests pretty good. He looked good on the field. He's a guy that I'm going to keep an eye on day three. Zach Tom is another one that I liked. Doesn't get a whole lot of attention paid to him. Left tackle at Wake Forest last year, ran a really good short shuttle time. If you can get your short shuttle under that, like four fives, then you're like, you typically have a lot of good success. His was under that. And so maybe Abraham Lucas from Washington State as well. That's another guy that I think might be on their radar on day three.
See, I'm a Daniel Folelli guy. He's going to go too early as it is.
Oh, yeah.
Just because he's so gigantic.
Yeah, I think he goes in the second.
All right. Going to the interior offensive line. Tommy Kramer is an exclusive rights free agent. Ryan McCollum, he's been re-signed. And Evan Brown, he's a restricted free agent. And I would bet they're targeting to bring Brown back, although it might be a little expensive.
Yeah, I do think that that should be a priority. He could be your backup at all three spots on the interior.
See, we know he can handle the workload. We can handle it if they have to use him.
Mm-hmm. And if anything, I think they could extend a tender to him. You know, 2.5 for an original round and then 4 for a second round tender. I still think that that is on the table if they wanted to get that from out of him. Again, you retain so many guys and you have talent and you can go right to the draft and just add more talent to it. I don't really see them going after anyone in free agency. The only ones that I highlighted in my free agency profile was Ted Karras, because his uncle has history
related
here.
Yeah, to Alex Karras.
Right. Yep. Right. And he's been relatively productive as a guard center option over the last several years. I liked Mason Cole coming out of Michigan. Well,
obviously you like Mason.
Look, he played left tackle and center, right? I mean, like, yep. Those are important spots. Hasn't been as dominant in the NFL, but he's still 25, which is shocking to me. He seems like he should be way older than that.
I would have thought he would have been a lot older than that.
And so Cole's a guy, he's probably too expensive. A lot of these offensive linemen are really expensive. I think they've kind of done their work. The draft makes more sense to add talent because you've got starters. You need to groom talent to step up. And then if your starters end up moving on because they become too expensive, you've got groomed players underneath them. And so again, I think adding a guy in the draft would make sense. Now, would they add a tackle and an interior guy? Probably not, but I think they're going to add somebody and maybe they add both. You know what I mean? Some of the guys that I liked were Cam Jurgens from Nebraska. He played center. He can play guard as well. He is very much the Dan Campbell mentality type of player. Cade Mays from Tennessee was on their roster. He was their starting right guard at the Senior Bowl. There was another guy that I wanted to point out. Oh, Cole Strange. He's probably going to go too early. Yeah. He played on the opposite side of the Senior Bowl, but he ran that 4.5 short shuttle, which is usually a really good indicator. My guess is that Strange will go earlier than what the Lions want to pay for him. So my guy to keep an eye on here is Jurgens. I for whatever reason, it just seems like a very logical fit. He's an athlete. He can run. He can hit. He likes to bury people. And he's just got that, I'm going to go out in the backwoods and tackle a tree type of mentality, like your Anthony Zettels, right?
Yeah.
So, so that guy makes a lot of sense. My gut still is that they retain Evan Brown and then go after a tackle guard. But I could also see them go after a center guard hybrid guy like Jurgens.
Blake and Tomlinson, Ode Abouche, both available. Ex-Lions that are. I don't know why I'm always intrigued to see the ex-Lions list. They're not going to go after either one of those guys. All right, interior defensive line.
Hold on. I mentioned a Michigan player. I'll mention a Michigan State. Brian Allen, I think, is going to end up getting paid a lot of money.
He's way up there on this list. So he's really developed, and he's a Super Bowl champion. So
there you go.
You know,
I think the Rams pony up and keep him. But
yeah, they probably will. Keep the band together. All right, the interior defensive line. There's been no roster moves for Nick Williams, an unrestricted free agent. To us, he seems like he's gone. Joel Heath, also unrestricted free agent, and he never really played a down for the Lions.
No, he got injured in the spring, and he never played a down. But with the shift to more four-man fronts, and I talked about this last week with Jeremy, was that with four-man fronts we're looking at less priority on an interior guy. And when you have Brockers, McNeil, and Onsarike, and then Cordell is your number four, maybe Hector's your number four, and then Pennacini's challenging in that spot as well. You really don't need to add a guy unless you're adding a guy that can be part of the rotation and maybe a potential future replacement for Brockers. But I think Levi might be the future replacement for Brockers, right? So like, if they can get the guy, the right guy at the right spot to get value, then I think they'll take a defensive tackle in the draft. If they don't, I think they can also afford to wait. Now, the same is going to apply to free agency. Like, there's some really talented free agent defensive tackles. Like, would I love to have Akeem Hicks? Absolutely. Would they be willing to pay $8 million? I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, he's phenomenal, but he's 32 and he's basically filling, he would fill the same role at Brockers place. Right. So
I have two Michael Brockers,
right? I mean, like,
Hicks would be better.
Right. Hicks would be really good. The guy that I think is going to get a lot more attention than people are giving credit to is Sebastian Joseph Day, who's on the Rams this past year. And we keep bringing these Rams guys up because Holmes was part of the team that brought them in. Right. So Joseph Day is really what they want Levi to develop into, this kind of hybrid guy who can play a couple different spots and is talented. I kind of thought that was the model. He's not a lot of people know about him. He was injured during the playoffs. So, you know, people who watched the Rams during the playoffs probably didn't even hear much about him at all, but he's a talented player. I think he's going to go much higher than people think. Guys like BJ Hill and Harrison Phillips, those are good run stuffers. They fits what they want to do, but they also want guys that can pass rush too, right? So,
I got your guy.
Go ahead
on this list.
Yeah,
his name is Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah, you know what?
Do both,
Mr. 35 years 35, old here,
and he would never come back here. There's no way he'd ever play for the Lions.
I don't think he would. Now he's still got businesses in the area, and investments in the area. And he really likes Detroit as a city. I just don't think he would come back to play for the organization, right? I think he would. He's at this point, he's looking for teams that are willing to pay him and that can get him another title, because he already has one with the Bucks, right?
He's got a Brady title.
But, you know, BJ Hill and Harrison Phillips, those guys are like in their mid 20s. They're both like 26, I think, right? And, but again, all of these defensive tackles are going to cost like $5 to $8 million. And I don't know if the Lions, after spending two draft picks and now having Brockers, I don't know if they're going to spend another $8 million on an interior guy. So again, they may look to the draft and just look for the right guy. Now the Georgia guys just tore up the combine, right? I mean, like Jordan Davis was everything that you had hoped he would be, I'm sure, Joe. Six and a half, 340, and he just ran like the wind.
I know, but now everybody's into him now.
I mean, he did so well that people are talking about, hey, should the Lions take him at two? And I think that's considerably early. Yeah, he's not a dominant pass rusher, right? And the only reason you're going to go in that, if you're a defensive tackle and you're going to go high, you got to be able to pass rush. And it's just not there yet. He wasn't ever asked of it. You're going to find this theme here with Georgia players, especially the defenders, is they're really talented, but there wasn't a lot expected of them to go beyond their role. It's kind of like Alabama guys, right? Mm-hmm. Alabama guys, you never know their full potential because they were asked to play a specific role. And that's what Davis was. Davis was asked to be a run stuffer. And then Wyatt was the pass rusher on the Georgia interior defensive line. So look, those guys are going to go 1-2 off the board. And it wouldn't surprise me if Wyatt went off the board first, but Davis is just such a freak. I mean, just the size, speed, athleticism combo is just, it's rare. I had said last week in the preview that he kind of reminds me of Haole Nata in the way that he can just move at that size, and it's almost unfair. But I think that's pretty lofty expectations to expect him to be Nada. But I think he's going to get drafted like that. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to get drafted in that mid first round, and he's going to be expected to come in and tear things up. But that's probably going to be too expensive for the Lions, right? I think both those Georgia guys are probably out of the mix on the interior. Now, a guy like Logan Hall, who's a defensive end at Houston that plays in the interior, he could be a Brockers replacement. Like, that I would buy into investing in him at like 34, right? I think that would be okay with me, because it's going to make a lot of people mad because you're going interior defensive line in the second round
again.
Right. But Logan Hall, I mean, look, he's 6'6", 285. He doesn't have great length, but he has great speed, great agility. Short shuttle is out of this world. Like, he's everything translates onto the field. He's not just a workout warrior. Like, it's all translatable. He's Travis Jones from UConn. Is this big Aleem McNeil 2.0 type of guy, right? Where he's capable of playing the nose and the three, and then he can do some pass rushing. And then you got other, I mean, there's a lot of guys that are going to be in that kind of day two range that I didn't think were going to be there, you know, when the season ended. DeMarvin Leo, Pierron Winfrey, those are guys that I think the Lions might be looking at on day two if the right one falls at the right spot. And there's going to be a couple of options for, do you want the nose three hybrid, or do you want the defensive end four eye hybrid guy like Brockers? So they could, depending on what they're looking for, there are a couple of options. Now, if you go into day three, it's a little bit harder to come by. I don't know if I have any guys that really stood out to me that I was like, holy cow, that guy has to be on the radar. None of them really, like, I mean, there were some guys that were talented, like Marquand McCall from Tennessee is an impressive nose tackle. He checked in at 6'2.5". What's that? Oh, Kentucky. Yep. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. 6'2.5", 242. Problem is that a few months ago he was 280, or, you know, he was 380, right? Where he was like, but he had weight issues, right? And can he keep that weight down? And like Jordan Davis,
get limited. Bigger.
it limited him. Right. And so, but do you need a guy like that when you have a Penasini already on the roster? You know, if you needed a nose tackle, this is a good draft to need.
Yeah.
A
nose tackle. And remember last year, there wasn't a lot of nose tackles in that draft.
Really, yep.
None.
That's why McNeil was so valuable.
Yep.
Beyond how talented he is as a player. This is a tough one. I don't think they're going to want to spend in free agency, but I don't know if there's a lot of day three guys that really appeal to me. So could they take a guy with one of their first five picks? I think they absolutely could. I think that's going to make people mad, but I think that's something people need to brace for as a possibility.
Well, I don't see. I don't know if these people should be as mad. I get they should be braced for it, but at the same time, like, this defense is bad, and we kind of focus on wide receiver because everybody gets offense a little bit more. Yeah. It's more visible that we're throwing the ball to these guys, right? Mm-hmm. The offense is bad, like the defense, but it's not as bad, and there's mm-hmm. more pieces in place there. They need all the guys. They need to build depth on the defense. They got to get as many good defensive players as possible,
and they rotate.
It's not like an offensive line where it's the same five guys all the time. And quarterback, right? So half the offense is out there on every play, mm-hmm. whereas the defense, everybody's getting replaced all the time, and they need to build a strong, deep defense. And so that would be my little two cents of like, hey, then maybe you shouldn't get so mad if they're taking good defensive players that we might already perceive to have. Like, they need as many as they can get.
There's six that I think are really good in this draft. Two of them are going in round one. Four of them are going in round two, in two or three. And if they grabbed Logan Hall, Travis Jones, DeMarvin Leal, or Pierron Winfrey and on day two, I would be comfortable with that, because that's a guy who's going to come in, rotate, and challenge to start next year. They would challenge Levi, I think, next year. Even though I think Levi is, you know, there's a lot of untapped potential with him still. But yeah, it's low key need that not a lot of people talk about, but it seems like, you know, they're going to need to look at some of these guys on day two. In my opinion, that's where the best value for these guys are going to be.
Okay. Now we're moving on. Now we're going to talk about needs, right? Yeah. Edge defender, Jesse Lemonnier. He's a restricted rights free agent. Rashad Berry, he's been re-signed, but that's not a, it's not earth-shattering move. Yeah.
Doesn't help you out a ton.
Here's where the Lions have, and they've re-signed Charles Harris. That was a few weeks ago. Or
No, they haven't.
He's unrestricted. Yeah, he's unrestricted. Charles Harris is unrestricted. What was I thinking of? Well, whatever. Trey Flowers has been released. So here is a big position to need, and it's going to be more focused draft-wise. But what about free agency?
Yeah, well, right now your Aquara brothers are your starters, right? And one of them hasn't proved he can be a starter, and Julian, and Romeo is coming off the Achilles. So is Charles Harris going to be a potential free agent to bring back? I think he will. I think he's going to end up being like a top 8 to 10 type of edge rusher. And I think the Lions have an inside track because he fits the system, right? He's going to get a nice pay raise. You know, I don't think he's going to make double digits $1 million, but he could make 8 to 10, 8, 9, right? Like that's a pretty hefty pay raise from what he's had before. I would want something a little bit lower because he hasn't proved it beyond just 1 year.
Sure, just 1 year.
Yeah. And
then he's kind of forced into it. There were no other options. Somebody had to do it. It was him.
Right. And with you, and with them holding a high pick and a very deep edge class, I do think they may be reluctant to spend all their Trey Flowers money on using that money to bring Harris back. Right. So I can't see them going after guys like Von Miller or Chandler Jones. Age and price don't make sense. Hassan Reddick is going to be too expensive. I don't like Randy Gregory. I think Harris is going to be the best free agent fit for them on the edge. But if it doesn't work out from a price perspective, a guy like Arden Key is kind of Charles Harris 2.0, where he's a guy who's never really fit, started to show some production last year. And I think he's a guy you could develop and he could be a contributor. A Okoronkwo is a guy that we liked it when he played at Oklahoma.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I was a fan of his.
He went to LA. He's on the Rams or was on the Rams. And he had a rough start to his career. He was injured, I think, as a rookie or maybe as a sophomore. He didn't contribute a whole lot. Then he kind of came into a pass rushing role. And that's kind of where he is. But he's a guy that I think you could, you know, a cheaper option that you could bring in and hope that, you know, you could turn him into another Charles Harris. Really, though, the draft, I think, is where this goes. I move on, though, are there any free agents you wanted to touch on or anything?
Well, they're all too expensive. Any of the ones that I really like, you know, Harold Landry, who I wanted them to draft, Hassan Reddick, who I wanted them to draft. Well, here we are. They're big money free agents now, but Landry's already off the board. And Reddick at $14 million is too much money.
You know who we liked, who doesn't get talked about a lot in this class, is Lorenzo Carter, who is coming from the Giants. Yeah, we liked him a couple years back. Well, 4 years back now, I guess. He could be a guy that I think is still young enough that you could develop and turn into something a little better fit for the scheme. You know, the when they do three down linemen and they stand them up, I think he fits that a lot better. But when you're going to have a multi-flexible defense, you know, and he's just that situational guy. It's a guy who could interest me, could be relatively inexpensive and, could give you some depth.
Now, you know, it's weird. The statement I made about Charles Harris being re-signed.
Yeah.
I think it's because I re-signed him in Madden. Like I'm confusing real life from the video game. And I haven't even played it that much. So this is a problem. I have to visit a doctor, right? Because I'm confusing video games with reality. know, luckily it was something low leverage, like, oh, they re-signed Charles Harris, and not like, you know, not like a Grand Theft Auto situation, right? But you know, there is now some concern. So let's talk about the guys at post combine. Of course, it's Aiden Hutchinson. Everybody except for me wants him to draft Aiden Hutchinson.
There's a good chance Aiden could go number one now.
Yeah, that's starting to emerge. With Cam Robinson being franchised, right? Which I thought, wouldn't you still just want two good offensive tackles anyways to protect Trevor? That's a big investment in Lawrence.
Here's the thing: Cam Robinson isn't even that good. He's average.
No, he's
right?
He's all right. Yeah,
he's not worth
a
the
little
franchise
worse
tag.
Than Decker. Yeah.
He's not as good as Decker. That's for sure. But he gets franchise tag because Jacksonville has a boatload of cap space and they can afford to bring him in. And in all honesty, even though he's not great, he's still their best offensive tackle. Now they drafted Walter Little in the second round last year. Their right tackle is a second rounder from a few years back. And everyone keeps telling me that they aren't going to draft an offensive tackle because they have 3 second round tackles on their roster. Well, here's the thing. Do you know why they have 3 second round tackles on their roster? Because they'd used first round picks on edge players, right? Like Chaseon was a first rounder a couple of years ago. Yeah, yep. Josh Allen was a first rounder a couple of years ago. Like, they have first round edge rushers, just like they have second round offensive tackles. That's the thing is, if you draft an offensive tackle, you're getting your other starter opposite Cam Robinson. If you draft another edge player, then you're getting more talent. So I could see an argument for either, but dismissing them taking a tackle just because they franchise Cam Robinson, to me, that's being too reactionary. I think you're looking at that move and saying, oh, tackle's off the board. No, they need another tackle still. They need talent still on that offensive line, and they need to protect they've invested in Trevor Lawrence and they need to protect him. Look at how bad what happened to poor Joe Burrow, right? They have a left poor tackle. They drafted a left tackle in Jonah Williams, who's a first round left tackle. And the rest of the line is just terrible for the Bengals. You can't just rely on they have one offensive lineman now. No, they are going to need offensive linemen in Jacksonville to protect their guy, or they're going to get Lawrence just beat up. So I do think offensive tackle is still very much on the table for Jacksonville. I do think edge is there too, but
get off your soapbox. He's not going to be there. All right. Hutchinson's gone. You were hoping he was going to be there. He's not going to be there.
Well, okay. Well, if he's not there, if he goes one, well, you have two more options on the edge that you can consider. Kayvon Thibodeau is, of course, the guy that we've been talking about for a while. Thibodeau ruffled some feathers by not working out at the combine. Apparently he went in and told teams he was going to work out, then didn't work out.
Backed out.
Which is really
concerning.
Yeah, well, it's concerning, it adds to the narrative that he's not this hard worker. I think it's overblown. But so many people are buying into this narrative now. And so many people are saying, hey, teams are really concerned. And then he doesn't work out. And it really creates a difficult situation for him to, if he's a hard worker and he wants to prove he's a hard worker, he's just created more work for him, right? If he's not a hard worker and this is just par for the course, well, then, he'll have to suffer consequences from that. But we don't really know all these things. Like, we're not privy to all this behind the scene information. We're reliant on reports from media people that are supposedly in the know, right? So on the field, he's a terrific player. Off the field, he sounds the way he articulates, the way he talks, his perspective makes a lot of sense. And I think he's a good person. And so those things look good. Those things say, hey, he's a real option at two. But if there is something that's going on that we just aren't privy to, then it could cost him and maybe he's out of the mix. And if that's the case, well, Trayvon Walker, another Georgia defensive lineman, he has all of a sudden stepped up. Now, Dane Brugler has been talking about him for months now. And everybody was like, Dane, I don't know. It doesn't make sense. He wasn't productive at Georgia. Well, now he shows out at the combine and everybody's like, oh, I guess Dane was right. He's really good. Well, look, we've been on this. We've been talking about him for a while too, as kind of like edge three or edge four, depending on how you look at Ajabo. But Walker is now in that very firmly in the mix there for the top five, I'd say. Could be in the mix at two. He's a guy who, again, wasn't asked to do a lot as a Georgia defensive lineman. He had pass rush, but he wasn't always asked to do it. His Georgia's scheme is very much reliant on the defensive line disrupting up front, but creating lanes and letting their athletic linebackers do the work. And so Walker did his role more often than not, and he didn't get the attention, but he's, you know, 6'5", 270 something. He's got 35 and a half inch arms, which is really insane. I ran a 4.5. He jumped well. I think he has like the highest speed score, or one of the top three highest speed scores amongst the edge position. Three cone was sub 6.9, which is what you're looking for in a receiver, much less a defensive end or edge rusher. And so, yeah, look, a lot of really favorable numbers that translate to that position. So Hutchinson, I still think, is the guy. If not, I still think Thibodeau is going to be my two. But if there are concerns that are legitimate, well, then Walker is going to be right there as well. And those three, I mean, it's three guys if you want an edge that you could take it to. And that's, you know, we got more guys than spots to get past, right? So that's a good spot to be in if they're looking for edge. And it makes me think that they are.
All right. Flipping over to linebackers. Anthony Pittman's an exclusive rights free agent. Alex Anzalone, Jalen Reeves-Maybin, Sean Dion Hamilton, all unrestricted free agents. As we well know, this is a big-time need position for the Lions. And everybody's getting excited about Bobby Wagner, and I wouldn't sign Bobby Wagner.
Really? Why not?
I really like him.
Bobby. I like Bobby.
I like him too. I don't know. It's just – I don't know. I mean, maybe you could talk me into it, because I get that if they did have a leader, an older guy, leader of the defense, and they bring in all these young guys in the draft and they already have all these young guys on there, maybe he is the right guy to put in the middle of the defense.
Hey, he could be your Michael Brockers of the linebacker level, where you're getting an older guy who you think you can bring in for less than $10 million, and he's highly productive. He's highly athletic. I don't care. Look, he's 31. Going to be 32 soon. I don't care. He still runs like the wind. He still hits. Sure. He's still super instinctive. He gets off blocks. I mean, like, there's so many things that I like about him.
Those guys often have long shelf lives.
Yeah. And
all time linebackers.
He comes in and he owns the middle for you. Now, if you want to go a little bit younger, Devondre Campbell, the Green Bay Mike, who had a bit of a down career until last year. And then last year he was an All-Pro, and he's only 28. He's probably going to come in at that same price range in that like $8-9 million, $10 million. But he's a guy who's going to lock down the mic, and he's going to be someone who's young enough, a little bit younger than Wagner, like 3-4 years younger. And you can get him during his prime. That guy was the guy who I had kind of pegged for me before Wagner became available. And again, I'm a massive Wagner fan, so I'm all about that. Those two, if you could add one of those two, my goodness, you're making a big statement, because right now both your starters are free agents in Anzalone and Reeves-Maybin. And then the guy, Reeves-Maybin, is just a replacement for Jamie Collins, who's also not here, and he's a free agent as well. So you're actually missing your top three. Now, again, you're hoping Derek Barnes steps up, but Derek Barnes, in my opinion, isn't ready to start. And so this is a position where I could see them draft a starter and sign a starter. And if I'm investing money in free agency, I'm investing at receiver, and I'm investing here at linebacker, and maybe at safety. And again, I know people really like safety. We'll get to that in a minute here, but I think this adding a starting level Mike linebacker or Buck linebacker, it's a big deal. And it's something that's another glaring weakness. This might even be a bigger weakness than that adding that wide receiver X.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess you talked me into it, and I'm seeing the value of it more and more as you go on. And I do miss having a top-notch middle linebacker. I think it's been since Spielman was the last time.
Sure.
Although Stephen Boyd wasn't bad replacing him, but he was no Spielman. But
I tell you, if you want a young Mike, then this draft has got those guys too, right? Devin Lloyd didn't run as well as people expected. His stock's going to fall. N'Kobe Dean.
But he was good. I really liked it because Utah team was good.
Yeah.
You know, and he was an excellent player.
Highly instinctive. At the combine, they mentioned Darius Leonard's vibes, where he was a guy who didn't run that well, but he plays like his hair's on fire and he runs like the wind. And that's Leonard. That's Lloyd. Lloyd can do that, right? He ran in a 4.66 40, but he runs faster than that in games. And I still have him as my top linebacker. N'Kobe Dean measured a little bit under 6 feet, which is going to hurt him, but they pointed to Jonathan Vilba as the example of a 6-footer.
Sam Mills, who was like 5'9".
Ernie Sims, right? Ernie Sims was
5'9" as well.
Yeah. So Dean is a guy who's going to slip a little because of his height. And I think that adding one of these guys at 34 is a realistic option, 32, 34. If Lloyd or Dean are there, they consider it. And if they're not, then there's a bunch of these guys on day two that you're going to look at. If you like Georgia linebackers, they got two more outside of Dean and Quay Walker and then Channing Tindall. My favorite guy most of the season has been Chad Muma. My guy I've really grown to like a ton is Damone Clark, the LSU defender, right? I think he has a really high ceiling, and he's someone that I could see them taking maybe at 66. Maybe at 34, or whereas before I thought maybe he might be there at 66. I'm starting to think he won't be anymore. So Clark's a guy that I'd be paying a lot of attention to here as well. And then Christian Harris looked good too. The difference is that I think Christian Harris is more like the complementary linebacker. Like if you were to go get Wagner would be your Mike. Well, then you're looking for that secondary buck linebacker. Well, Christian Harris is the natural fit for that. Muma can do both. I think Clark can do both. Like, it just depends. Like, but if you don't go get your Mike in free agency, I don't know if Christian Harris can be your Mike. You know what I mean? Like, I think you'd have to go after, you have to go after a guy like Clark, right? It just really depends. Like, Harris is probably have a little higher ceiling than Clark, but I don't know if he can be the Mike, whereas Clark is an absolute Mike. So there's a lot of really talented defenders again on day two that are guys that could probably come in and start. And at linebacker, you need two starters. Mm-hmm. So I'm expecting a linebacker here on day two, probably, or maybe day one.
All right, flipping over to the defensive secondary, starting at cornerback, Bobby Price and Mark Gilbert, both exclusive rights free agents. Interesting thing, maybe for the first time in my lifetime as a Lions fan, this isn't a huge position of need, although cornerback is always a position of need for all 32 teams. So, you know, this is definitely a position they're going to address, but you know, happily, it's not really, it doesn't have to be at the top of the list.
You've got 9 corners, Oware and Akuda, if healthy, those would be your starters. Jerry Jacobs was a starter, but again, he's not healthy. You've drafted Melifonwu in the 3rd round last year to potentially come in and start. And then AJ Parker was your starting nickel. So you've got 5 guys there that all held down a starting role at some point last year. And then you have good depth options too. And Gilbert's a good depth option. Price is a good depth option. And then you've got some other guys that are more special teams based, but you've got 5 guys. Now of those 5, 2 of them have health concerns that you need to get past, but they both seem to be doing well. And hopefully they'll be ready to go when the season begins. If they want to add another guy in the draft, well, they got options there too. Now, in free agency, don't know, right? I don't know if they're going to add someone in free agency. Levi Wallace is one of my favorite guys. But he's going to, you know, are you going to spend $7-8 million on a guy like Levi Wallace when you've got a third round pick waiting in the wings to challenge the start? Or, you know what I mean? Could you get Akilah Witherspoon for like $4 million, you know, half that price? Is that possible? Maybe. Could Desmond King come in and start for nickel duties against AJ Parker? That would be interesting to me. I don't think he would be overly expensive, local kid, right? And so I don't see them going after top names like your JC Jackson, like he's going to cost like $18 million or something ridiculous like that, right? I don't even think they're going to go after like Darius Williams, who was with the Rams, because I think he's going to price himself out, right? So again, this is a spot in free agency where you're kind of looking at the lower level guys for depth, uncover, you know, some hidden talent maybe, but the draft makes a little bit more sense if they find the right guy at the right fit, right? Top guys in the draft, I think, are probably not necessarily high on their radar, because again, you just invested in Melifonwu. They have high hopes for Melifonwu to eventually take a starting role. But with injuries and then Owari in a contract year, you know, you could see them invest in a guy. I don't know if they'd go early. Sleeper guy I like is Kobe Bryant from Cincinnati. I think you could get him maybe at 97. And he could be a guy like Melifonwu who could be on the same track. He plays a rotational role as a rookie and then challenges to start, you know, in the coming years after that. Then there's a whole bunch of like highly talented guys who just aren't proven, right? Whereas Bryant is maybe less athletic, but more proven. You've got a lot of guys that are highly athletic, but unproven, like Tariq Woolen from UTSA. I thought Alante Taylor from Tennessee, he's kind of got that corner safety hybrid. Joshua Williams from Fayetteville, also a small school guy, but corner safety hybrid type guy. Zion McCollum, highly talented, played with the Lions at the Senior Bowl. He tested like out of the building. They're like ridiculous numbers for him at 6'2". And again, Lions were with him, so they're going to know his potential. They've got an up close look. Now Cam Taylor Britt from Nebraska, he's a little bit more established. He's more athletic, I think, than people give him credit for. If he's there like in the fifth round, which I don't know if he would be, but if he was there in the fifth round, I could absolutely see them giving him the ORA treatment. You draft a guy that's highly athletic, who has some proven ability and could surprise you and turn into the next ORA, right? So Cam Taylor Britt is a guy you're hoping might slide a little bit and you could take advantage. And there's a handful of corners like that, right? And that's, I think, if they're going to address it, it makes more sense to try and find a sleeper than it does to invest a day two pick, in my opinion, even though the day two pick guys would be pretty tempting. It'll tell you a lot about the injury status, I guess, if they draft a guy on day two.
All right, moving on to safety. Juju Hughes is restricted. Exclusive rights free agent. Tracy yep. Walker and Dean Marlowe, both unrestricted free agents. CJ Moore, restricted. Jalen Elliott, exclusive rights. This is a position in need, a big one. Yep. And they'll likely need to add somebody in free agency or maybe in the draft and both, or both.
Yeah, maybe both, right? Elliott is the only exclusive rights free agent that the Lions had that didn't get re-signed and didn't get tendered. And I'm a bit surprised by that, because I thought Elliott was a good player. He's a little bit less athletic than you would prefer, but apparently either he's looking for bigger opportunities or they just didn't see the fit moving forward and they didn't give him a tenure. And it's an exclusive rights tender is basically like minimum, right? And mm-hmm. they didn't offer it. So I think he's worth it. It makes me think like maybe he was saying, hey, don't tender to me and let me hit free agency. So we'll see. But you've got one glaring starting role open, And depending on what they want to do with Will Harris, they might end up having two starting roles open, right? Because my gut here is that they are going to try and add to this defense a corner safety hybrid, right? Now, I think they have that in Will Harris based on what they discovered last year, and it's very possible they turn him into that. If they don't want to turn him into that, I mentioned a couple guys in the draft just there, like Alante Taylor and Joshua Williams. Like, but you have Aaron Glenn's hybrid corner safety in free agency this year, and that's PJ Williams. PJ Williams was with the guy that did everything for Aaron Glenn when he was with the Saints, and now he's on the market. I don't know how much he's going to cost. I can't imagine it's going to be much, but if they don't think Will Harris is that hybrid guy, they could go after PJ Williams and get him as a free safety or as a free agent. And I don't think he's going to cost a ton. And he's, like I said, he's familiar with Aaron Glenn. Now, of course, the other guy who's familiar with Aaron Glenn is Marcus Williams, who's going to be one of the top free agents out there right now. He's a top
your
10
guy, Marcus Williams. Yep.
Look, I liked him back in college, right? Yep. And like, he famously got burned as a rookie by Stephon Diggs in the miracle.
Man, the miracle.
Yeah, right.
Minneapolis or whatever.
Yeah. But he is extraordinarily talented. He is perfect fit for the scheme. He's familiar with how the Aaron Glenn runs the secondary. And so he is a plug and play foundational piece. He's 25. You can give him a 5-year deal and keep him till he's 30. You can build around him. You can give him a lot of money in a backloaded contract and keep his cap hit low, but he's going to cost a lot. Like, we're talking like 15, 16 million. We're talking like Allen Robinson type money. Now, I don't think you can get Allen Robinson and Marcus Williams at like 16 each. I think that's more than they could afford. But I do think they could get one of them and like a Bobby Wagner, right? Because Wagner's about half that. So it really will be interesting and tell us a lot about what they're looking for in the draft, depending on which one of these guys or which one of these positions they go after. If you like Kyle Hamilton, well, then you're probably not going after Marcus Williams. But if you like one of the receivers, then you might go after Marcus Williams and try and get a guy who is a proven player who you can build your defense around. And so Williams would obviously be phenomenal, but there's a lot of talented safeties in this free agency pool. Quandre Diggs.
Yeah. There. Bring back Quandre.
My goodness. Why not? He loves Detroit.
What a disaster trading him away.
Oh man. And look, if you could bring back Tracy Walker and Quandre Diggs, you could probably get them both for about the same price you're going to get Marcus Williams. But that'd be phenomenal. And those two mesh well together. They meshed well together previously. And then you add Will Harrison to the bunch and you're not in bad shape at safety anymore. Could they bring in a guy like Justin Reed or Jordan Whitehead, Terrell Edmonds? Those are all guys I profiled during the playoffs as potential free agents. There's a lot of talent out there. Like, there's so many talented safeties out there. They have to bring in somebody. And my worry would be if they bring in if PJ Williams is the only guy they bring in, fans are going to be highly disappointed.
Sure.
But that Williams guy, PJ Williams he fits the system and he fits Aaron Glenn, and Aaron Glenn loves that player. It wouldn't be surprising if they added him. Now, could they add both Williams and both the Williams, Marcus and PJ? Sure. Well, then take Kyle Hamilton off the board then. Right. But I could see them adding two safeties, possibly in free agency, or one in free agency, one in the draft. Either way, I think they've got to walk away from this with two safeties. And that might be regardless of what they do with Tracy Walker. You might get Tracy Walker plus two safeties. Like, that's how crazy their need is to me and how well the talent meshes, right? It's a vital, important position. I still think if we shift to the draft, Kyle Hamilton's in the mix. but there are a lot of options in free agency, and it'll be interesting to see. Maybe they aren't willing to pay $16 million for Williams, and they're willing to wait out and see if the price drops on some of these guys. It's really kind of up in the air, because last year we thought safety was a big need and they didn't do anything, right? They got Dean Marlowe. So who knows what their approach is going to be this year. I really would like to see Tracy Walker back. I think he can be an important piece. And yes, he plays the same spot as like a Marcus Williams, but Tracy's position flexible. And I think you could move him to the Will Harris spot, and then you can move Will Harris into the hybrid spot. So there's a lot of ways they can go, a lot of options, a lot of talented players that they could add in free agency, and then the draft as well. So before I talk about draft, was there any free agent that you wanted to highlight or say?
No, nobody wanted to highlight, but I do think it's good that the free agency group is so deep at safety.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it'd be very helpful. And then low key, the draft has a lot of talent as well. Kyle Hamilton, of course, is the unicorn who could be in the mix at two. Then you've got guys like Daxton Hill, Jaquan Brister, Lewis Seen, all in the mix, possibly at that 32-34 spot. Jalen Petrie from Baylor's working his way up boards as well. And then if they were to hit a free agent, and maybe they just did one free agent, maybe they lost Tracy and added Williams, or didn't, or added Tracy but missed on Williams and didn't add another guy. I could see them investing in a guy like Brian Cook out of Cincinnati, or Nick Cross out of Maryland, or Kirby Joseph out of Illinois, and trying to get one of these guys at the end of the third round. And these are guys that could challenge to start as well, who just aren't getting as much attention. And if you want those hybrid guys, they got a lot of hybrid guys on day three. Juwanwe Thomas from Georgia Tech, Tyson Anderson from Toledo, although Anderson, I think, is probably going upwards a little bit faster than I would have wanted. There's some really nice hybrid safeties in this class as well. So a lot of options, I guess. And that's a good problem to have at safety.
What about Smoke Monday? That might be my favorite name of the draft.
I like Smoke. I profiled him during the season. He's a ball hawk. He understands where the ball is. They played him at free. He's probably better as like a slot box type of guy. He's got a little bit of free safety capabilities. So interesting guy, day three for sure for me. But yeah, if you're looking for a developmental guy on day three, yeah, I think Smoke could be in that mix.
All right, rounding out the roster, Jack Fox, Riley Patterson, Scott Daly. They're all exclusive rights free agents. They're not going to be, unless they're adding camp bodies, competition bodies, those are going to be your specialists next year.
Yeah, because you have a couple camp, you have a couple competition bodies there.
Like already.
You have Siebert and Rosas signed as well. At the kicker spot, you really, I don't think, I mean, maybe you get an undrafted guy to challenge Daly. If they're going to add one of those guys, Jordan Silver was the guy who was on the Senior Bowl team with them. So I could see them saying, hey, Jordan, we liked you at the Senior Bowl. You want to come in and push Daly, who's only been with our roster 1 year. I could see that happening, but as an undrafted, of course, and they're not going to bring anybody to challenge Fox. Fox is established and he's going to be a core. So yeah, I think their special teams is set up.
So that's it. That rounds out the whole roster, and what we're going to look forward to is free agencies steamrolling at us.
Yeah, it's Monday kicks off the tampering. Wednesday is the official opening, and
there'll be plenty of tampering going on right now.
Oh, there already is. Yeah, for sure. I mean, absolutely. There, like the reports out of the combine are agents of high profile receivers were talking to the Lions, and the Lions suggested price range for the player matched what the agents suggested price range for the player were. So they think like there's going to be some nice fits for the Lions and free agent receivers. Well, that's tampering. You know what I mean?
I mean, like, yeah, but I don't know.
It is.
Yeah, it is. And yeah, all the teams are doing it. And
yeah, they're just not negotiating contracts, right? Yep. That starts on Monday. So going to be fun. It's going to be busy. And by the next time we talk, we should know a handful of guys that have been added to the roster.
I don't think we had any reviews added.
Oh, I did not check.
I believe there might be one, but it may have been added before last week's show, which I was not a part of. Yeah, back on February 26th. Oh, no, we probably had a show. Well, thanks to MRizzo87 for your review.
Nice.
If we had not gotten it already. And if we thanked you twice, well, you're doubly thanked. So that's it. We want to thank everybody that listens normally. And people who just tune in every once in a while and think we're idiots and never listen again. Thank you too for listening. We appreciate it. And that's it. That's all we got for this week, Eric. Do you have anything to add?
Nope, that's it.
All right. So until next time, let's go Lions.